Hey, this hour is brought to you by NJ Diet. NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you'll lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. Go to NJDiet.com or call them at 855-5-NJ-DIET.
Live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
WMVP, WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
A Good Karma Brands radio station. Come on.
Sox trail 3-2. Down to their final strike. Here's the pitch by Kennedy. Swing and a miss. He got him.
Same pitch that he had to swing at off the outside corner.
So the Sox get close with the tying run at second and the winning run at first, but cannot come through. They are swept by the Diamondbacks.
Connor McKnight had the play-by-play all weekend here on ESPN 1000. Not as many highlights as Connor or anybody would like. Just a disaster. I mean, this whole month was supposed to be good. And then, you go on that bad streak.
Oh, it's go time because they're playing all these teams that are below 500.
I know, and you thought, I'm telling you, I thought after that five-game win streak, Liam Hendricks is on the station telling us about the leadership council. Happened at the right time. You take the first two from the Astros. When was that? Was that 2 weeks ago?
Feels like a lifetime ago.
It feels like forever ago when they won the first two games against the Astros. For their fourth and fifth games in a row overall that they had won.
Yes.
And then you lost the last two. And then
You had some magic in the beating of the Astros in those two games. Yeah, seventh and eighth inning
came
magic.
Back, right? You thought a little energy.
Yeah.
And then you'd be at bad.
Yeah, I called them the Chicago Fun Suckers about 10 days ago.
The 21-5 game happened on that Thursday then?
Yes, that was the final game of the four-game set with the Astros.
And then maybe the Adam Engel. We've always looked for the jumping off point. Maybe the Adam Engel highlight in him dropping the ball in that loss is the game that officially breaks them, that we'll cite when the season is over. The season sucked the entire way. But it was the angle dropping and then the home run and then losing in extra innings was the game that eventually just broke a team that was severely hurt to begin with.
Yeah. They've lost 9 of their last 11.
Crazy. We'll get to the Sox here in a little bit. If you want to react, 332-3776. If you're just getting into your car, I want to let people know the latest on the Bears situation. Adam Jones continues to tweet in response to the Ian Rappaport report from about 2.5-3 hours ago on the NFL Network. This surprised us because Tevin Jenkins has looked good. Tevin Jenkins not only has gone from the bottom of the depth chart to starting at right guard, but he's looked like he belongs. The talent's always been there. He was a second-round pick. Some people thought he could be a first-round pick a year ago. Say what you want about him, but the talent is there. And there are a lot of experts who played the game and like what they see in Tevin Jenkins.
Yep.
But this was Ian Rappaport a few hours ago on the NFL Network.
Well, let's talk about some of the guys who could end up being released. I would say maybe more likely traded. We'll see which way it goes. A lot of times, as you guys know, there's a little bit of both, a possible release, maybe a trade. We'll go to some offensive linemen, some highly drafted offensive linemen. First of all, Tevin Jenkins from the Chicago Bears has been the subject of trade calls for a little less than a month now. I know the Chicago Bears, from my understanding, have engaged, have not come up with a deal just yet. Also moved him to guard, and it sounds like he was somewhat impressive there. So I'm not so sure they cut him, but a trade, from my understanding, certainly possible here.
So a lot of Bears friends are saying, no way, Rappaport's making stuff up. I don't think Ian Rappaport ever makes stuff up.
No, I don't either. And again, I think he had a chance to kind of just move on from that story if, in fact, it hadn't sparked up again, right? This was something that was talked about a couple of weeks ago when there was some friction that existed between Tevin Jenkins and the team. And for him to pick that ball up again and run with it a little bit, yeah, that's not like Ian to just kind of make stuff up.
I read you Adam Johns from earlier, from about an hour ago. He's covered the Bears for a long time. Really good Bears beat guy. He wrote, guys, Tevin Jenkins not only has been the starter at right guard for the past two preseason games for the Bears, but for every practice the past 2 weeks. Not only that, but they think they've gotten a lot better. They might have something here. Then he goes on, he says, here's what I can add to the conversation out there. So I think this is in direct response to the Ian Rappaport reports. Yes, the Bears have been actively looking at offensive linemen, including the trade market. But some of that has been more about adding to their mix up front. At the same time, Tevin Jenkins has impressed the Bears at right guard. Just listen to what offensive coordinator Luke Getsy said today. The current Bears don't strike me as a team that would waste anyone's reps anywhere. Jenkins has earned his place as the starting right guard.
I'm totally cool with that as well, if that's the case. I think the one thing that Adam referenced is something I believe strongly in as well. I don't think it's just offensive line. I think they're open for business. Not necessarily just for trades, but for claiming guys that have been released by other teams, whether they be that team's draft picks, free agents, undrafted free agents. I think they will scour every single team's waiver wire to find guys that they think fit their system better than some of the current guys they have.
If not now, when, right? You do it when you're starting the rebuild. You constantly are bringing guys in that you scouted and you liked for a draft, and then you never got him, and now you have a chance to get him in the right situation.
Think about it. I don't know. Is Riley Reiff banged up? I have no idea. But you signed Riley Reiff kind of late in the process, right? Braxton Jones and Larry Borum are your starting tackles.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Riley Reiff would be a nice swing tackle.
Sure.
I wouldn't be shocked either if they decide yeah, there's somebody else that we like even more than Riley.
Or that's younger that could grow. Yeah. Riley's at the end of his career. I like what they did with Riley Reiff. You can be like Ryan Pace, and you can go in and you can have a hurt player in Tevin Jenkins who played right tackle and try him at left tackle and have no backup plan if that fails. And then he got hurt already. He was already red flagged. And then you're going to a fishing boat to sign a 39. When did they sign what's-his-face last year to start at
Jason Peters?
Yeah. When was that? A week before the season?
Something like that. Yeah, he was on a boat fishing.
So at least they brought Riley Reiff and say, look, here's Reiff. If our young guys beat him out, they beat him out. We're not going to go into the training camp, you know, without a backup plan.
Right.
So I liked it. And yeah.
I have no problem with it either.
If you think makes these sense. Young guys play well, trade them out and bring in a younger player. I'm fine
with that. The point I was making is just to emphasize, I think they are going to do a lot of this. You're going to see them look at guys, bring guys in, as a never-ending attempt to make their roster better.
Lewis Riddick also. I don't know what he said, but some Bears fans were going after him.
And well, that's just the nature of the beast these days. Everyone gets really angry. If you're too optimistic or you're too pessimistic, it lights the fuse for guys out there. A lot of the guys watching film.
I saw some people say, like, and I even texted Lou. I asked him, I go, hey, you want to come on today? I see some Bears fans and you were going at it. You know, he says he's getting ready for the Thursday game he's doing, the college football game. And he said next week or maybe the week after he'll join us. So Lewis always joins us. I always think he's nuanced and has great thoughts. This was Lewis Riddick on SportsCenter regarding the Bears and how well they played against Cleveland.
Well, Justin Fields' potential was always through the roof, and I've been very clear about that from the very get-go. What he has done this preseason, though, is he has struck up a relationship with new offensive coordinator Luke Getsy in a way that is really translating on the football field in terms of his efficiency, his comfort, the way he's seeing the field, the way he's delivering the football with consistent accuracy. And Luke Getsy has really implemented a great process-oriented plan, as he puts it, in terms of making sure Justin understands why we're doing what we're doing, how to get it done on the football field, not how to just get it done one play, but to get it done consistently. Look, this offense is tried and true. It's proven from a philosophical standpoint, considering where Luke Getsy came from there in Green Bay. And right now, these two are on exactly the same page that you would hope that they would be on at this point in the preseason. Now, we'll see what happens in the regular season and how everything else holds up around Justin. But as far as that marriage between play caller and quarterback, look, GM Ryan Poles has absolutely struck the absolute perfect marriage, along with, obviously, head coach Matt Eberflus. Mm. We'll see how this all goes once the season starts. But great start in the preseason.
And I love what he said about Getsy and Fields, that they're on the same page. They're working together. Like, how often we have been starving for a quarterback. I also think that our offensive coordinators have not been good in the past. We've documented that. Like, when was the last time you remember a coordinator making a quarterback better in this town? To me, it was Trestman with Josh McCown.
Makes sense.
Because I don't think Nagy made anybody better. Maybe Adam Gase. Like, Adam Gase, at least, there wasn't a lot there, but he took away the interceptions from Jay. Like, Ron Turner with Eric Kramer in 95 to rewrite the record books. It's not often.
No, there's not a long list of you know, marriages, quarterback, and offense coordinators that are overly impressive.
Yeah, yeah. So
now, again, look, I agree with a lot of what Lewis said. Like, to me, I'm looking more at the basics of this thing. Like, because I think that that's what you can learn most in preseason. I don't know how it translates. Again, when you face the Cleveland Browns in the regular season, Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett are going to be out there. They'll change the narrative in certain ways. They'll change the way the game.
Game record.
Yes. Doesn't mean the Bears still couldn't win. Doesn't mean that Justin still wouldn't do some really good things. It's just different. So to come to a ton of conclusions about how the preseason projects to the regular season, I think is an exercise in futility in a lot of ways. But for a team like the Bears that's trying to build a foundation, clean, in and out of the huddle, you're not rushing to get the play snapped before the play clock is out. You don't see a bunch of guys running back and forth. They don't know where the hell to line up.
Lack
you don't see
penalties.
A lot of penalties. You don't see a lot of turnovers. The coaches put the quarterback in position to take advantage of what he does well. Again, I can't imagine. I think there were some stats about how little Matt Nagy asked Justin Fields to move the pocket, go and, you know, do boots and rollouts and different stuff. And it was really the only way to protect him, but yet they were still resistant to doing it. I think you've seen a coach in three preseason games, and I don't know the percentage of the passing plays that have been called that have either been screens or boots, but you see a coach in his first spin as an offensive coordinator who understands, I got a protection problem, and I got an active and athletic, talented quarterback. So what am I going to do? I'm going to ask him to get on the run. Because I think personally at this point, Justin's an even more accurate quarterback on the run than he is in the pocket. Now, that may change over the course of time as he learns to be more comfortable in the pocket. But if you look at the majority of his wow throws, most of them are on the move. It's like where he's most comfortable. It's where he kind of feels most confident. So I think it's going to be a mix of at the end of the day, I mean, Steve Young told us 5 years ago, being able to move and make plays outside on the edge is dynamic and it's fabulous. To win a championship, you also still have to be able to function at a high level from the pocket. So, you know, Luke Getsy's his job is to not only get the most out of Justin out on the edge and getting moving, but help him become more confident in the pocket. And it starts with his where his feet are set. I think it was Jim Miller this weekend, did a really good job explaining with his left foot forward, the ball comes out so much quicker.
Just a basic thing.
Even on screens, it's just a basic thing. So, look, I think there are some things that you can be really encouraged by. The foundation is being set. The process sounds like it works. The quarterback and the offensive coordinator are on the same page. Those are all good things.
Give me the line again that you said earlier.
It's nice not to hate your football team before the regular season kicks off.
That's where
it's really simple.
It's simple.
Right.
That's where we are. We hated the Bears last year going into the season.
Hate's a strong word, but you know what I'm saying.
Nothing made sense.
They were not likable.
And two guys who never should have had their jobs still playing Andy Dalton to go where? To go where?
Yeah, it was not a team that was, I mean, they were not a likable team when the season began. So, like, look, I'm putting the bar here. I'm not going to yell at you if you want to put the bar at a high place. If you think this team can win 12 games, I'm not going to yell at you. I mean, that's just your opinion. I think the talent gap that exists between them and other teams is too significant for them to surprise us to the upside too much. I think it's going to take them another year or so to kind of diminish that talent gap. But if you can build a foundation where you're not beating yourself, you put the PP pistol away so you're not shooting yourself. You know what I said. You know what I'm talking about. You're taking care of the football. The game plan makes sense. You may not be scoring 30 points a game because you're going to be up against a defense that's got some talented players, and your offensive line still is not the best in the world. But you're making progress. Then when you get to 23, you can draft. You get a full complement of picks. You got a ton of money to spend. Like, build me a foundation. Make it make sense. That's what I'm looking for this year.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Andrew and Elgin, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Andrew?
Yo, guys, I've been listening, like everything you guys are saying. I hope you had a good weekend. I just wanted to say a couple things I've been thinking about in the city. That, first of all, with the White Sox, you know, Tim Anderson, losing him is just huge. And then having an old coach that doesn't motivate the team and get them jacked enough to get out there and play, you know, their asses off, that's another story. But with the Bears, I am just so excited to feel like I think that it's finally happened, what you guys are saying. I think that we finally have a front office, all the coaches in place to get these guys to play professional, solid, winning-type football. And I am just so excited for the offense. I think Luke Getsy is an incredible, brilliant kind of guy, and I think that he's going to bring the best out of this football team. And I just wanted to ask Waddle, though, I'm excited about the offense, but I want to know – you know, for the team, too, I'm excited for. I think good things are going to happen. But I want to know how good you think the defense is going to be this year, Mr. Waddle. So you guys have a good night. Go Bears.
Thanks, Andrew. Look, I think there could be some bumpy moments. You're going to ask a rookie cornerback and a rookie safety to play a big role in your secondary. Your pass rush lost one of the more dynamic pass rushers in modern football the last several years. I get it. He was banged up. Didn't play a ton of games, but you're a better football team with Khalil Mack coming off the edge than without it. That's just reality. I mean, I'm sure people wanted to argue about that, but a healthy Khalil Mack, which I expect him to be this year, would make you a better defense.
Of course.
It depends on, you know, who establishes themselves as your three technique tackle. Look, what you've seen from them is they hustle, they play sound football, they go to the ball. They're still susceptible to the better offenses in the league. The opening drive of the season with Kansas City. I mean, that's, you're going to have moments like that.
Kansas City does do that to everybody, though.
Right. But there will be moments when other teams will do that to them as well, because they're not a finished product.
It will be interesting.
To be honest with you, I have no idea how they're going to project. It's a new defense with new faces and a new system. I'm not sure how it will end up.
Someone said in the meeting, like, and I think this is a good barometer, against the two games against Detroit, they're an up-and-coming team. They don't suck as much as they used to. The Jets, who's a little bit better, the Giants, the Texans, these winnable games, guys who are still in your class,
yeah,
even though they may be improved. They've got Atlanta is on the schedule. Though I think we counted seven games against those teams that are still in the bottom half of the NFL. Those are the really good barometers on the start of a rebuild. Will you be able to be a better team than them?
Right.
Even though you may not be quite as talented, but because you're better coached and because you have better game plans.
You're not beating yourself.
Yeah. Can you go 500 in those games? Can you go 4-3 in those games?
I'm encouraged that, yes, that is the case. That's the takeaway I would. So if you ask
me,
am I more...
Beat the teams you're supposed to.
What I'm encouraged by, what I've seen in the preseason... Better coached, that's the way it feels. The process makes sense. Now we'll see how they stack up.
Frank and Lafayette, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Good to talk to y'all as always.
Thanks for coming,
Frank.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good to talk to y'all as always, man. I'm excited for the Bears season. I don't have really expectations of them going super far, but like it's been said, I think one of the words they use is operation. I'm looking for a clean operation. I'm looking for growth. And then with the Tevin Jenkins thing, man, I've just been trying to figure out for a while, like, what's been going on. And then you talk about narratives, Waddle, Sylvie, right, about how things are said. And I'm sure there's been issues and the new regime, and they look at a guy with new eyes. But I went back and I looked at interviews from Tevin Jenkins, right? Like all his early interviews, his rookie season. And one thing that I found that he mentioned multiple times, especially in one of his introductory press conferences, is that, hey, I can play any position on the line.
if I get reps, if I get training, if I learn it and I learn the keys to it, I believe I can play any position on the line. So when people say, oh, well, they're surprised about them moving him around, I think they acknowledge that and they saw the versatility that he has and maybe what they could do with him and grow him. So I just want to know what y'all think about that. And I love y'all, and always still be strong.
Thanks, Frank. Means a lot.
Look, honestly, Frank, I think if they felt he could play tackle, he'd be playing tackle because it's a more important position. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a contributor. Maybe his more natural position is to move him inside and be a mauler. Instead of playing in space, you're playing in tight confines, and you're mauling the guy across from you.
Yurko had a great thought earlier. He said, I would only draft tackles. And then if your tackle thrives, he's your tackle, one of the tackles. And then if he's not, you always can move tackles inside.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good thought.
I mean, there are exceptions. The kid from Notre Dame that plays in Indy was a guard. Coming in.
Yeah, well, he's
yeah. No, I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah, they're just nuts. I guess. Look, I'm excited to see Tevin Jenkins play guard for an entire season.
Yeah.
Like, as long as he's buying in and he's okay with playing guard and he's not pissed off because he wasn't gifted the tackle position. Because this staff told you right away, everybody's competing for stuff now.
There will be one move, though, that will surprise us over the next 24 to 48 hours, won't there? There may be a trade. There may be a cut that will be, whoa, Ryan Poles, whoa. I think so.
Listen, I love Robert Quinn. I don't believe Robert Quinn will play the entire season.
Yeah.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
What we got here, boys? This is from Ian Rappaport, who's made plenty of news on this show already today. The Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo are finalizing a new contract that will make him the highest paid backup in the NFL, sources telling him and Mike Garofalo, a solution that keeps him on the roster while making clear it's Trey Lance's team going forward.
That's not a move I was expecting today.
I was not either. I was expecting them to cut him and move on from him.
So is that an indicator that
they're
Trey Lance isn't where you thought he would be?
How else can you interpret that?
I also think it's an indication that around the league there's no real appetite to make Jimmy Garoppolo a huge offer, or not even huge.
Well, there's definitely Jeff, there was nobody giving up a draft pick.
Not even the draft pick. I just don't think listen, Jimmy G, because his agent is the same as Brady's, Don Yee, I think.
Don Yee, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure they would have gotten an indication from some team out there that they were willing to pay what San Francisco was, if there was somebody out there willing to do
it. It also tells me that Jimmy looks at the situation and says, I'll be starting sooner rather than later, potentially.
Well, get ready for this, too. So this is from Schefter.
Yes, I was going to read this. Go ahead.
The contract contains a no-trade clause and no-tag clause, so no franchise tag after the season, and have the freedom to leave in 2023. His compensation this year is a one-year restructured deal worth $6.5 million, fully guaranteed. He's got $500,000 in roster bonuses and also has playtime bonuses that can boost it up to nearly $9 million.
I like that no-tag clause. Can other players do that?
Can we ask for it.
Oh, yeah. Can rookies try to negotiate that in? Where at the end, like a Roquan Smith type who was drafted 8th or 9th overall.
You could try.
Could
maybe.
They try to say, look, at the end of my five, I want a no-tag clause.
Good luck to you.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what, though? Roquan, and maybe if you had an agent, you could probably, you might have a chance to get
before.
That deal done.
That's interesting. That's an interesting development. Like, you may see Jimmy G in the second half here in the opening game of the Bears season if it's not going well.
I'm pretty sure Don Yee negotiated that with Brady in New England last year.
Yeah.
A no tag.
With Brady, you understand. But with Garoppolo, it's interesting. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6, the breaking news. Jimmy Garoppolo is staying with the San Francisco 49ers. Surprise. He reworked his deal for the highest paid backup money and with a no trade clause.
Maybe
and no
shoulders.
Tag clause.
Maybe is his shoulder 100%? Maybe it's slow to recover. I don't know.
So there's that. There's the Jenkins report from Ian Rappaport that the Bears are still possibly open for business on him. So we will see what these next few days with cuts coming will bring us. All right, we've got the good, the bad, the dirty. Our sports recap coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty, our sports recap of the weekend or anything else we experienced. Brought to you by Window Nation. Call my guys, Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. They got the great sale, buy two, get two free. My community group has a Facebook page.
Everyone, what do you mean your community group? In your neighborhood?
Live. Yeah, in our neighborhood has a Facebook page. Everyone's asking for Window Nation's
info.
There you
go. There you go.
They all want to talk to my guy, Alan Favada.
You should be getting some sort of commission check for that.
I want to be a good neighbor is what I want to be.
And you should be getting a commission check.
So
you can do both.
Do like my neighbors are doing. Do like I did, call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION.
Nice.
Go around the room, one thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty that we experienced over the weekend. What's your good?
I've got two goods. Real quick, my first is that today was my daughter's first day of classes at Boston College, and it's also her 19th birthday. Wow. So happy birthday to my daughter Emerson, and I hope that her classes were good today.
It's a milestone birthday right there.
Yeah, 19.
19 and to start your first day of college?
Yeah.
It's a day.
Big
what's
day.
What you going to do, though, after classes?
Is 19 a milestone birthday?
No, it is, though, if you're going to your first day of college classes.
Yeah. Well, that's the milestone.
She got her ID taken. She got an ID taken from her first night there back in Friday.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, welcome to college.
What do you mean? Wait.
Damn, she should have known.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
What do you mean she got her
ID? He said
ID?
That on Friday.
Yeah, I told you that on Friday.
No, I know, but what is that? I don't think we talked about it. What does that mean?
Yeah, I would not, you know, I don't mean to make a big conversation about it.
Like her fake ID she got taken?
It really wasn't fake.
Okay,
I'll tell you the situation.
Yeah.
I don't want to cause anybody any future
plead the fifth
issues. I plead the fifth. My other good was the Bears' decision to actually play their starters in Cleveland on Saturday for the entire half, because as we said leading up to that game, valuable reps to have to be had. It was an excellent performance for your young quarterback, and as a group offensively, you go into the regular season feeling good about yourself. So the decision to play your guys in the third preseason game was a good decision for the Bears off at front office.
Yeah,
and coaching staff.
Very good. I'm with you on that. We were talking all about it. My good is a sort of a double dip, and what better place to do a double dip than in an ice cream shop? Sitting at the ice cream shop in Deerfield, brand new one that they just opened. I believe it's called Scoops and Cookies. Sitting there, they have like this 90-inch television in the ice cream shop, which is great. So the Northwestern game was on. I was sitting with Praxy, rewarded him. He had his first coach pitch Little League game of he advanced
was he raking?
From T-ball.
Was he raking out there?
He had a pretty good day, yeah. Good. He had a pretty good day. A Mason, too. Mason played in his first Mustang game, which is his first kid pitch game.
But anyway, no ice cream for him, though?
He didn't want ice cream. Really? He may have had a birthday party. I'm not sure where he was. So Braxy and I said, Braxy, let's go get some ice cream. We went out here. We were watching the end of the Northwestern game. In the corner of my eye, out the window, I see Candace Parker walking on the sidewalk right outside the shop. And I've never met Candace Parker. I'm a huge Candace Parker fan. Braxton has been to a Sky game in the past, and we ran out. She was getting into her car, Tesla, by the way, and which I didn't think was like a basketball player's car. I thought there would be more legroom. Small car. Isn't Tesla a small car? So I said, Candace, hold my kid.
Now, I was just going to say, did you ask her to hold Braxton?
No. I said, Candace, can my son, she was getting in and felt bad. Can my son get a picture? Could not have been nicer the day before their game yesterday, which she had a huge game. They lost, though. And was complimenting Braxy on his bull shorts. He was showing her his jump shot form.
Nice.
And it was a cool experience. She's one of the greatest players of all time.
And you probably had ice cream on your face the whole time.
I did. Yeah.
Food face.
Even on days when I don't eat ice cream.
Right. That's true. You probably had ice cream on your face and your shirt.
And the custard at the Milwaukee Brewers game, we went to the Cubs game on Sunday, I think is the best ice cream anywhere, by the way.
Custard?
It's the frozen custard, that Wisconsin frozen
Nothing
custard.
Nothing says Wisconsin like a big, big bowl of custard, does it?
Yeah, it's so
Maybe
good.
Maybe a butter burger or two? Did you get a butter burger?
I didn't have a butter burger, no. But running into Candace Parker, that was truly an experience. That's my good.
That's good.
What do you guys got? What's your good?
Boys, this yesterday was not the first time. I think in his previous start was the actual first time it was done. But kudos to the Mets and Mr. Met, who had a blue and brown eye on display yesterday in honor of Max Scherzer making a start. I was thoroughly entertained. And it's the little things in life. Mr. Met sporting a blue and brown eye. So kudos to the
Mets.
Is your
good, bad, dirty mascot themed today?
I was trying. There is another one coming your way, but I only have two out of three mascot themed.
Knew it. What do you got, Tyler?
My good is Cole Kmet. He caught one of the touchdowns from Justin Fields wide open in the end zone. But we talked a little bit on Friday about wanting to have Cole Kmet put together a little consistency. And I think that's back-to-back games with him with three receptions in a limited amount of time out there. So my good, Cole Kmet.
Very good.
Good to see him active in this offense for sure.
What's your bad?
My bad was this weekend for the White Sox. They got kicked by the D-backs 0-3. They were swept in the series. They were outscored in the series 20-9 in those three games. Not a good weekend. Bad. Bad White Sox.
I don't even think like bad does it even justice. You know, it's so horribly bad what they've taken their fans through this weekend.
Not just that. Not only did you get swept by the D-backs, and then they shoved it in your face on Twitter.
The Diamondbacks.
What did I say? The D-backs, their Twitter handle was giving you the business afterwards.
Yes, they were trolling.
Yeah, they were trolling.
My bad was I've lived in the burbs since 2014, so it's been a while. I'm still getting used to the wildlife and stuff.
More skunks?
The skunk issue up north has not been solved. The skunks are out in broad daylight. They're eating all the grubs on the lawn. It's not on my lawn because we don't have grubs, but my neighbor's lawn in the backyard, skunks galore. That was last week.
Yeah.
Saturday, I saw the biggest spider I've ever seen in person.
Oh.
Did you see me tweet this
thing
out?
I did, yeah.
It was crazy. And my wife, you know, you got to act like a man. And I was like, oh, my God, look at this spider, my youngest. And I want no part of it. I'm a baby. I'm a total wuss. This thing was massive. I tweeted it out. People have come to the conclusion that it was a wolf spider.
Those are harmless.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
But it's...
Well, not every spider is going to kill you.
Well, I didn't
think... Were you thinking it was a brown recluse that was going to eat your skin?
No, it looks scary as hell. I don't want it near me. I just don't...
I'd be more scared by a snake than a spider.
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I got a whole new level of scared for snakes.
Yeah.
But this spider, and people were saying, Sylvie, they don't spin webs, and they eat the bad stuff in your house
that you don't want. Yeah.
So just leave it alone. But of course I couldn't.
So you ate it?
No.
Put it in ice cream.
I tried to smush it on the...
Oh, you called Merkin over. Merkin came over with his 3-wood.
And then it was still alive, so we put it outside then. I think, I just can't do it. Such a baby with this.
What can't you do?
Well, that stuff. Like, I'm not ready for any of this. The spider, I can never move to Arizona, even though I want to one day, with the real spiders and the real snakes.
You're not Jeremy Roenick, who takes a golf club and holds a rattlesnake down and grabs it and throws it over his fence.
I'm not equipped for this. Wow,
no,
this
not.
Is not in my thing.
That's not even that big.
Oh, it was big.
Really?
I don't think pictures do it justice. How big is this? This right here, there's about 6-7 inches?
Yeah, but like the legs are so long.
That was a joke.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was good. That was a good joke.
What is this?
That's a foot.
6 or 7 inches, yeah. I'm told, right? And then that's a good 6 or 7 right there. Now, I thought that was a good...
At least, looks like 8 to me.
All right, boys.
You know how NFL preseason is. You just try and get out of there without injury. That is... Of the utmost importance when you're an NFL season. But boy, oh boy, on Saturday night, in the midst of the Washington Commanders and Baltimore Ravens game, the Ravens were dealt a brutal blow at halftime when their mascot, Poe, went down with an injury when he was playing part of the mascot and youth football game. Suffered a leg injury, had to be carted off.
That's got to be tough.
And, yeah, it's brutal.
Do you still have to do mascot fun things while you're hurt and not show people that you're hurt?
Well, kudos to him.
Not if your leg's pointed the wrong direction.
Yeah, I mean, they had to bring the cart on and he had to be carted off. It did delay the start of the second half. Poor Poe. And even bigger is the fact that you'll remember the Ravens, of course, let go of Edgar and Allen in 2008. They always had three mascots for the longest time, Edgar, Allen, and Poe. And they released... I was not aware of that,
to be honest.
Neither did I.
I'm dead serious. They got rid of Edgar and Allen after the 2008 season, so they were left with Poe. And now that he's down with an injury, I have to imagine the Ravens are going to be looking around to see if there's anybody available.
I was going to say, do they have a stand-in? Is there like an understudy for a mascot?
An emergency goalie.
Yeah, or do they have to get like the accountant to fill the suit?
No, I think if the mascot goes down, you get a half a football without a mascot.
No, there's no
backup mascot.
Oh, there's got to be some sort of a protocol.
No.
They're not going to fill the suit, no?
For the following game, maybe, but maybe not that game. You don't move the drill.
No, not the rest of the game.
Okay.
I'm talking about for the next game.
Oh, yeah, you just move the drill.
Yeah.
Move the drill.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got, Tyler?
My bad, Nebraska football losing in a pretty awful fashion over the weekend to Northwestern. All of this coming after the Corn Kid gave them his blessing. Are you guys familiar with the Corn Kid, by the way?
Who's the Corn Kid?
The Corn Kid. He's all over TikTok. Like, I've lost probably 4 hours of my life watching stuff
just
from
TikTok,
this.
TikTok, yes.
Well, yeah. But so he's this kid. He did an interview about how much he loves corn. It's like the biggest thing on TikTok right now. But he gave the Nebraska Cornhuskers his blessing, gave them a little video now, and they lost, even though they have the Corn Kid on their side.
I do love corn, too.
So does this kid.
Summer sweet corn, fantastic.
Yeah.
What do you got? What's your dirty?
My dirty is the Justin Fields got hit with the roughing the passer penalty, or whatever it was. It was a late hit by the Cleveland Browns linebacker. Not only was it a dirty hit, but I brought it up because I think it's something that I hope the Bears are discussing with him. He's got to start sliding maybe sooner, and also maybe protect yourself when you are going to slide, because the league isn't going to protect you, as we have found out, 100% of the time. And the reason I say this is because the last thing we want to see is we don't want to see him not tuck and run, because it's a weapon for him. We also want him to make sure he doesn't get hurt. So do it with your health in mind. Maybe slide a little bit sooner. Maybe slide a little bit lower, however you adjust your slide. But we want you to keep running, but we don't want you to expose yourself to these consistent big hits, especially to the head.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to talk about that, too. We'll get to that a little more later. My dirty is the free beer at the Northwestern game. The dirty part is it always happens at the games that I'm not at. Again, we have free beer at Bears game every now and then.
You could have flown overseas and gone to the game in Ireland.
I don't know if you heard, but one of the systems went down on how you pay. Was originally reported that it was their Wi-Fi that went down. It was their system in which they take payment. They're no cash allowed. Like a lot of places now these days, there's no cash being exchanged, only credit cards. So their server that takes their payments went down. So instead of not serving stuff, they're like, hey, everything's free. And there were long waits, 25-minute waits for the beer. But people seem to enjoy it. Carmen's worried about the stadium and how much money they lost.
Yeah.
But it's dirty that it doesn't happen to the games we're at.
Well played.
Wrap us up, boys.
My dirty gentleman goes out to the Yankees. They've been dealing with a depleted bullpen of late, and it certainly wasn't helped when Aroldis Chapman had to head to the injured list because of an infection in his leg. Of course, that was a result of the tattoo that he recently got on his calf. Yes, Aroldis Chapman headed to the injured list due to a leg infection from the new tattoo that he received. So that's dirty.
And I'm co-signing with Mallory. That was my dirty as well.
Wow.
Dirty. Very dirty.
Chapman.
Dirty ink is what that is. That's dirty ink.
Dirty needles. Keep them away.
All right, coming up next, I want to break down some more of the Bears conversation. 312-332-3776. Anything on your mind, we'll grab your calls. We're guest-free the rest of the way. Guys, I was just telling you about Window Nation during the Good, the Bad, the Dirty. Absolutely love them. They got me brand new windows in much of my house. Beautiful custom-made windows. This is what they do. This is what they're true experts in. Family-owned business, which handles customer service the right way. Right now, Window Nation has their back-to-school sale going on right now. You get two free windows with every two you buy with no limit. And you'll pay nothing, and I mean nothing, till 2025, including interest. This is saving money in the short term with their great sale going on right now. It's saving money in the long term because they're going to save you money on their energy bills, on your energy bills, the AC, the heating bills coming. No drafty windows anymore in the cold Chicago winters. Call my guys, 866-90-NATION. It's windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION. A-plus rated Better Business Bureau, 97% approval rating online. Read all the great reviews when you Google their name. Their number is 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Let them know that Sylvie sent you.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
I see now. I see.
What do you see?
I see the reason why people were mad at Lewis Riddick earlier today.
Why?
And going
out.
Someone tweeted me the screen grab of Lewis. I think this looks like yesterday, last night or something. They were doing a right or wrong. Right or wrong. Let's go around the room. Right or wrong, this happens. And then you got to say it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. The right or wrong question was, Bears will be the worst team in the NFL this season.
That's wrong.
Lewis said right.
Really?
And now he's getting some Bears just Twitter one angst.
Just one man's opinion. That's all. That's all it is. Don't get all your panties in a bunch about that. Just one man's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion.
Take it all in.
Yeah.
No big deal. Like, none of us really know. We're hopeful. Waddle coined it best. It's nice to not hate your team before the season begins. I think that's great.
Do the 49ers hate their... Well, that's
no.
Not hate. But what they just did, signing Jimmy Garoppolo to back up that team and him agreeing to a modified contract, that's huge news. That tells you that, there's no other way to read it from my perspective than they're not sold on Trey Lance.
Interesting. And that's who the Bears play in the opener. I want to break that down. So there was big news. Jimmy Garoppolo staying a Niner. Could Tevin Jenkins, even after starting these last 2 weeks at guard, still be traded? There's a lot to discuss with you. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776.